Do a little bit of an overview of Hilchos Tzedakah. So we know the Torah tells us we have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Tzedakah is different than Gemilus Chesed. Gemilus Chesed is an act of kindness. You helped someone load or unload their car. You did Chesed. You helped someone build their sukkah. You did Chesed. Tzedakah is giving money. Now, there is a basic machlokas between the Rama and the Shach. There's a basic machlokes between the Rama. First of all, the Gemara says only money. What I said is a Gemara. The Gemara says, Tzedaka b'mamono, gmilus chesed begufo. So that's a Gemara. Tzedaka mechayim, gmilus chesed lachar mosok. Tzedaka imanim, gmilus chesed afilu imashirim. That's a Gemara. But we'll get back to that maybe later. Wait, I didn't say anything yet. Questions in a minute.
Can I just comment what you said?
Go ahead.
No, because you said the money. Were you assuming money versus equivalent to money? Because I know that in Gemara it's considered the same
thing. Oh, we're going to get there. Wait, we're slowly.
All right.
There's a machlokes, which we will get to later, about when we speak about Meiser Ksafim, does that have to go to the poor? Meaning our assumption, our first assumption might be that tzedakah should go to the poor. People don't have food. People don't have clothing. People can't afford medical care. That's tzedakah. But we will see that we generally don't assume that. We assume that tzedakah is more encompassing than that. And that is a machlokas Rama Shach, which we'll get to later. So let's work our way up slowly as we go. So our most basic mitzvah of tzedakah is that a person every year should give a small amount to the poor. And this includes the poor themselves, as it says in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch. Everyone's chayv in tzedakah, even the ani himself has to give tzedakah. So the first thing, mitzvah of tzedakah, is irrespective of who I see around me, irrespective of what's going on around me, I have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Okay, that's my mitzvah. So I have a younger brother who has CP, and people would offer him, can I open the door for you? And he'd say no. And they'd say, but I want the mitzvah. And he'd say, I don't want to be your mitzvah. There is this aspect where I need the mitzvah. I need the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. That's point one. Now we come to the opposite side of the deal. There's the ani that has a need. That's a separate concept, right? A person comes to you and says, you know, I don't have food today. I'm very hungry. And you say, I did my tzedakah this year. You know, I gave my shekel, two shekels. I'm done. Go to the next guy. Doesn't exactly work that way. So how does it work? So the Noda Biyahuda had a big question. Because when he would leave the shul, when he became chief rabbi of Prague, he would walk out of shul and there'd be a long line of aniyim. And he said, what am I supposed to do? Now I'm chayiv to all of them? The Noda Biyahuda, the chief rabbi of Prague, said, where do you draw the line? If every day I leave shul and there are a long line of people that have real needs.
Without leaving shul, what are all the people coming in while you're davening in the shtibla?
Oh, so, okay. So, now we come to a few other points. So, step one, sukkahs. 6 years ago, Torah B'Tzion, I was on my way to give a Daf Yomi Shir. The yeshiva had just started, and we had, I guess it was 7 years ago, and we had a Daf Yomi Shir running, and Daf Yomi runs Bein HaZmanim too, so I come to the yeshiva the night after the first Yom Tov. We're talking about Torah B'Tzion. 7 years ago, and the yeshiva opened its doors. So we had a Daf Yomi Shir, and I'm headed to the yeshiva, and there are no buses. Chol Hamoed, it's very hard in Yerushalayim. Not everyone's as spoiled as Kochav Yaakov. So in Yerushalayim, the buses, at least back then, were not functioning well. So after waiting 45 minutes for a bus, and I'm achrayit to be there to give the Daf Yomi, I didn't have a choice. I took a taxi. So I'm taking a taxi, and on the way, I asked the driver, how are you? And he says, real lousy. And I said, what's wrong? And he says, I just had a heart attack. And I say, really? And he says, no, not right now, but 10 days ago. I just got out of the hospital 2 days ago and they told me to rest. And I said, and why aren't you resting? And he said, because I'm in a second marriage and my wife says, if I don't have the money to feed the kids, she's leaving me. He says, my first wife is suing me for whatever I got, gam kacha, and now I'm in a second marriage, and I'm, no wonder he had a heart attack, yeah. He said, if I don't work, this is Chol Hamoed, he said, if I don't work, I don't have the money to pay for Materna. I don't have the money to pay for the baby food for my baby. So I'm sitting there in the taxi thinking, what am I supposed to do? Here's a person that's telling me a story of Pikuach Nefesh. I don't have to believe him, right? So here we come into the next two Gdarim in Ilchos Tzedakah. Someone comes to you and says, I'm hungry. The Halacha says you have to give him. Person comes to you and expresses a need that could be Pikuach Nefesh, you have to give him. Whereas if a person comes to you and says, I need money, I can't afford tefillin, I need money, they're going to shut my electricity, I need money, they're going to evict me. In all those cases, you could say, let's see the evidence. Maybe you're living in Savion and you should be living in Dimona. Maybe you're being evicted from a very expensive house, you should be living in a cheaper house. Who said I have to help you avoid that? Whereas with everything else, we say, you have to do research. And, as the Gemara says, we're so lucky there are swindlers out there, because if there weren't swindlers, I'd always be over on an Isser when I didn't help out in Ani, almost always. We'll discuss the details of that. But because there are so many cheats, because there are so many swindlers, because of that, when a person comes and asks me for tzedakah, I don't have to give him. We began with Maichiv, but right now when it comes to his need, I don't have to believe him about his need. I don't have to, I don't know him. How do I know it's true? But that's all if it's not Pikuach Nefesh. When a person tells you, I'm hungry, I need food, there the Halacha says you're not allowed to take the time to do homework. You have to give him food. So very often I've been going down the street and a person stops me and says, I have hungry kids at home, could you help me? And I always say the same answer. Yeah, come, we'll find the closest makolet, I'll buy you a loaf of bread. And all the times but once I was turned down. They said no. And I said, you have hungry kids, I'll buy you a loaf of bread. He says, no, my kids like cereal. And I said, I can't afford cereal for my kids. What do you mean? I'll get you a loaf of bread. No. Okay, so then I don't have to help you. I don't have to give you a penny. I don't have to give him anything. Because when am I chayav? I'm chayav when a person might be hungry. The story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. His students were sitting with him in a rickety house, and they thought the house was going to cave in. And he said, you guys go out and take me out last. And then when they took him out, he was lying in bed. He didn't have hands or legs. His body was covered with boils. And just as they took him out of the house, and then the house collapsed. So they asked him, you're such a tzaddik, then why do you look like this? You knew it wouldn't collapse as long as you were in the house. And he said, well, I was once riding my camel. I had a whole bunch of camels at the end of a journey, and a poor man came to me and asked me for food. And I said, just a minute, my poor donkeys are after a long ride, my poor camels. I went to unload the camels, and then I brought him food, and I came and I found him dead. And when I saw him dead, I said, how could it be? I took care of the camels before I took care of him. And I said, my hands that didn't rush to feed you should be cut off. My feet that didn't rush to give you food should fall off. My body that wasn't caring of you should be covered with boils. And he said, all the curses came true. He said he lost his hands, he lost his feet, he got covered with boils. But he said, "I from there we learn halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Someone asked me for food, I'm not allowed to delay. How do I know how hungry he is? So that's food. So I'm sitting there in the taxi thinking to myself, okay, so Chazal spoke about food, but this guy had a heart attack, right? So if he had a heart attack, is that so different than food?
Materna you mentioned as well, though.
I mentioned Materna for his baby. So the guy is saying medically it's dangerous for him to be driving, but it's medically dangerous for him to be working, but it's not food. So still Pikuach Nefesh, Chazal's example of food was this concept. So I would like to avoid the end of the story, but then you guys won't be happy with me, so I'll tell you the end of the story. So I asked him how much money it would take to get him to take off, till the amount of time the doctors told him. And then I made phone calls when I got to the yeshiva, and I took all his information and his license and everything down, and we arranged him alone. And he never paid it back. And when we called the taxi company and said, you know, where is so-and-so? We have his license. We have a contract with him. They said he played the scam on other people too. Oh. And we never got the money back. So what's the moral of the story? I did right. The moral of the story is I did right. I didn't do wrong. Yishanai was so upset that I took it to Din Torah. And I went to the Dayanim and I said, I want you to paskin for me if I was wrong in getting these other gemachs to join me to help the guy. And they paskin that I was right. Meaning, so you could say the moral of the story, the guy tricked you. But the halacha says, we know he might trick you. We know there might be, but in other instances, how many times did people come to Torah B'Tzion knocking on the door and saying, I need tefillin for my son. You guys don't care, my son's bar mitzvah is this week. I never gave him a penny, and when they went collecting, I said, I don't think you should give. Let's find out that the guy's legitimate. People came and said they have a kid that needs an operation, and I said, give us the paperwork. Let's see that it's real. And I could tell you all the cases, Bli Yotze Min HaKlal, were not real. All the cases, it's a mind-boggling thing. All the people who came, when they were cornered, and they had to, all, there wasn't one exception.
How many?
I'm talking to you 17 years ago. 17 years ago, a wealthy Jew came to Eretz Yisrael, and he gave a donation of a few hundred thousand shekels, and he said, if there are children whose parents can't afford operations, I'll cover it. And he said, don't make it known to anyone. But he told me, and he told a few other people. So I felt an achrayus. The guy left in the country over a quarter of $1 million shekel. I don't know the full number. I just know that he covered certain operations, but none came through me. Because every instance that came to me, I had to do the homework. I couldn't just give him, I couldn't just say, here's a story. None were legit. I'm not saying they didn't need the operation. I'm saying that they had money from Bituach Lumi. They had other coverage.
How many people are we talking about? Are we talking about 10 or are we talking about 100?
No, you're not talking about 100. You're talking somewhere in the range of 15, 25, somewhere there. Not 100, no. No, but it's still interesting that I didn't have one that turned to me that was legitimate in the end. But some saying, wait, let's go step by step. So what we've defined so far is, I have a chiv tzedakah, which isn't a large amount. We're all yotzei that. If we give a few shekels during the year, we're yotzei that. That's my chiyuv. It doesn't matter if they're anim. Then there's a chiyuv if someone's hungry or has pikuach nefesh. There I'm stuck. So I could sit here and feel that's why I didn't want to end the story, right? Because it's a lousy ending to the story. It's not a happy ending. The happy ending would be that we saved his life. No, it's not the happy ending. It could be the heart attack was true. I don't know. I know he was a swindler. But did I do wrong by giving him the money? No. So we have the halacha tells us there are instances where you cannot do homework.
You knew from the beginning?
I didn't know. I had no way of knowing. I brought witnesses. I signed a contract. We took down all the information. Legally, we could sue him. Practically, I have his tudat zehut. I have a copy of his tudat zehut. I have all the information. Great. What does that help me? There are another 50 people that have all this information too. You know, okay. I know his name, everything. Yes, sir.
Why was it correct to do that?
Because if you have a situation,
you could have given him couple counseling or any other thing that may help him.
Right, but right then, that night when he's not feeling well, let's imagine that what he said was true, and he feels he can't stop his work. He feels that right now he can't. Under the pressure he's in, he can't go back home without bringing a certain amount of money to cover his costs for his children and his wife. Right? So, you have a scenario where it's no different than the guy who has no food. He's saying, I don't have the food I need. I can't. So, medically, he doesn't have. Most situations, if it wasn't a situation where I didn't think the guy was trying to trick me, the guy didn't open the conversation with me, I opened the conversation with him.
The wife leaving him is not a pikuach nefesh.
If he feels if he feels not well, I'm sitting next to him, and my impression was he didn't feel well. So I asked him, how are you doing? Like Avi said, are you having a heart attack now? I wasn't sure. The guy looked not well. So I asked him to be friendly. I didn't think he was trying to con me. I was pulling the information out of him. He wasn't coming and telling me, could you help me? I was asking him. It seemed real. Until today, it might have been real. I don't know. It could be it was real. No. The fact that he took money from other people, he didn't tell them he had a heart attack. That part of the story, he didn't tell other people. He got other people to give him loans. Look, I the halacha in this scenario says when you feel you have a situation which might be pikuach nefesh, when Nachum Ish Gamzu saw the poor person, he also thought he had 5 minutes to unload the camels before feeding him. He didn't think the guy would die, right? But he should have thought that maybe the guy would die, right? So the halacha tells us, if you have a situation where the guy is asking for food, so that's the generic case. But you can have other cases where right now it could be pikuach nefesh. If I thought I had a day or 2 days to do homework, I wouldn't have given him a penny. I would have done the homework. But if what I see right now is that the guy needs X amount to get off the road, you have this all the time. You know, you're talking about that story, but there are stories where people have medical needs that they're not taking care of because they're under pressure. And it could be people that are working too hard because of their heart or because of other situations which are not right. You have diabetics that aren't doing what they should be doing. Okay, when does it become pikuach nefesh is a tough call. I agree with you. You're not going to say every person that's not doing what they should is, so I should give them the money so they should do what they're supposed to be doing. That's true. Okay, but a person who just had a heart attack and is not feeling well and the doctors told him he should be in bed, no.
When did I have to speak to the doctor? Is like
an 1 second, there are other guys waiting. I don't mind taking questions. I'm happy taking questions. The only question is, can you guys hold the questions till later? Because if we lose the flow, then I end up forgetting things that are... I'm building an order.
We're on the topic.
I'm with you. Yes, sir.
Before you said that Gemilas must have been comparable to Tzedakah.
Okay.
In the sense that of... I mean, it's not pikuach. I mean, opening the door for someone is not pikuach nefesh. So where's the...
Tzedakah isn't only for pikuach nefesh. Tzedakah is always, anytime I'm going to help a person with money. We're going to discuss that tzedakah could also be giving them food. Tzedakah isn't only money. We're going to get to that later on. Tzedakah isn't only giving people money. But we'll get there.
Person that loses all his nechassim, you have to give him enough to where he was before that?
So we'll get there. There are levels in the chiyuv, but I'll say the obvious answer. If a person's next door neighbor doesn't have food for breakfast, but the guy he knows from the next town used to ride in a limousine, so he should give the money for the limousine or for his neighbor. So that's where we have an order in our giving. But we're not yet up to that. Meaning there is an order. Your family comes first. Your neighbors come first. And the Eretz Yisrael come first. A person that needs food comes first. The person that learns Torah. There's an order. So it's true that somewhere in that hierarchy, you have the concept, if he's used to riding a horse, buy him a horse. But that's, I don't give him his horse before I give the other person his loaf of bread. That's why we don't end up there. That's
The order you just gave was all geographic, though.
No, I said
your
relatives
neighbor,
too.
Your family, fine.
Family isn't geographic.
Saying like in terms of like
we have people here from Canada. Yeah,
I'm saying in terms of like closeness or whatever. Like, but in the, like you didn't say in terms of like poorness. Like if
right,
if
we'll get I said a loaf of bread and his horse. That's
did
neat.
The example, did you say the guy with the limo was the other town over?
Say that. Even if it's your other neighbor needs the limo.
Your neighbor
first
needs
neighbor.
The limo, but the guy in the town over needs bread.
That's a good question. I didn't know. I didn't give that example.
That's what I was about to work towards. Right. Your family needs the limo, fine. But your neighbor's hungry.
So those are details we won't get to tonight. You could take the Avat Chesed and learn it. It's discussed in the Nosa Kelim and Shulchan Aruch. The Chafetz Chaim brings a bottom line. We won't get that far. I mean, that's what? No, open Avas Chesed. The Chafetz Chaim discusses that. That you're making it as one question, but it's not. Meaning, there's an order of need. There's a difference between a sibling and a neighbor. There's a difference between a neighbor and the guy in the next town over. Meaning, and in this, you start going into discussions among the Nosa Kelim and Shulchan Aruch. Where does one have precedence? Your brother needs a car. Your neighbor needs a loaf of bread. Who comes first? Your brother really needs a car. Who comes first? So that's what I'm saying. To those details, we won't get to. Okay. That's already a discussion where... let's get there. So, yes, sir.
About those details, I mean, not going into the details, but Can it actually be deduced, like so systematically, like this is takes precedence over this and this over this, or
it is an halacha? It's discussed. Yeah, I'm so saying there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch on this.
So it's subjective. I mean, it's not subjective.
Much of it is not correct. Much of it is not, and that's why on much of these things it pays to ask a shayla. Because a person could have good intentions and end up... a guy came with a question, but I don't want to go there. Let's build up to it. Let's understand the basis. We're working in order. You guys are asking me questions, which if we build, we'll understand the system. So what we discussed so far, we have an individual chiyuv to give tzedakah. We will assume for now that husbands and wives' assets are together, Gavriel. I'm addressing this for you, even though the truth is it's relevant to everyone. We will assume... I'm saying he's the chassan here, but they meant it's no gal, all the married people also. I'm saying our assumption is that we do things together. Our assumption is that when I say giving tzedakah, there's no difference. I surprised the guy when he wanted to figure out where to give tzedakah. And I said, do you have relatives that need? And he was talking to me about his community. And I said, what about your relatives? He said, my relatives are fine. I said, your wife's relatives? And he said, well, that's my family too? Yes. I'm saying we're looking at it as one entity. It's true. There can be instances where there might be a difference. But our general approach is that it's all our family. That's our approach.
The wife's family is equal to your own?
Usually we view it the same way. Usually, yeah. Look, I don't know. I see my brother-in-law was here tonight. I haven't seen my siblings, some of them, in over a year. I don't know. You know, you hope you have a good relationship with your wife's family, too. It's not a question of feel here. It's a question of responsibility. This is too broad a topic to go into tonight. Let's leave it as the assumption that we're all one family. Okay, so we're working forward. We said, number one, my chiyuv to give tzedakah. Number two, the need of the individual. If the need of the individual is pikuach nefesh, I don't have a right to check him out. I have to give him right now the bread he needs if I have it. I don't have to go into debt for him. I don't have to give him money I can't afford. But if he has pikuach nefesh right now, I have to give him. The next thing is, by the way, this is not the way the sukkah looked until tonight. Just for you guys, I put up all these little mechitzos to stop the wind. So that I'm saying the sukkah was much nicer. But I figured if we have a bunch of guys here and ladies, so we should put up a mechitza to stop the wind. There's hot water there. If anyone wants coffee, tea, there's cups,
I guess the
sugar.
Didn't work out.
No, this is better. Okay. Esther, את יכולה להבטיח מים ולהוסיף בבקשה? להבטיח מה זה? תודה רבה. We're not up to that yet. We're not there yet. The Yerushalmi says it's the biggest tzedakah, okay? So we'll start there. We will still discuss the 10 levels of tzedakah. I'm sitting next to the Gaba here. I have to behave. If I don't say giving to the shul, who knows what's going to happen. We'll get back to that.
So you said that differentiating between giving tzedakah to somebody who really needs it and somebody who would, is a swindler. What if it's somebody who's both?
We'll get there. Okay. We'll get there. I hope. So, most people that come to us for tzedakah, it's not pikuach nefesh. It's rare that you run into a situation where the guy is saying, can you give me bread? And you offer him bread and he wants it. It's rare that you run into a guy. There will be people on the bus who tell you, I need this shot. There will be people who knock on your door and say, I need this medical treatment. And in all those instances, it's legitimate to say, give me information. You're not going to die today. You're not going to die tomorrow.
What kind of information is?
I want the information. Suddenly, when I see the letter from Bituach Lumi that's 4 years old, why do I think that's relevant still today? Give me proof of what you're talking about. Like I told you, of all the cases that came to me, none were real. None were legitimate. Many of them were real. None were a legitimate need that I could use that. Think about it. I had a quarter of a million shekel at my disposal. I never took a penny of it. I didn't take a penny. 17 years, I didn't take a penny. You understand that? That it's a little bit mind-boggling. The kid who needed a heart operation, three kids that needed heart operations, and many other situations. I never took a penny. The money went back. It went to other kids. I never accessed the penny. Okay? So that tells you something. You don't have to right away give because you don't have pikuach nefesh in front of you. So that's... Okay. Now we're moving forward. So then what's our classical tzedakah? Our classical tzedakah is, I'm going to give and help the poor. Or I'm going to give and help worthy causes. And that goes back to the machlokas we began with. Does tzedakah encompass other things? Is tzedakah helping a guy pay for his wedding? Is tzedakah donating to a shul? Or buying svarim for the shul library? Or helping, let's see, what else? What other tzedakah do they tell us to give our kapars to? Helping a yeshiva. If I give a donation to Machon Meir, is that tzedakah? It's not because people are hungry. So today, many yeshivas, and especially Machon Meir, you have people who, they're giving you breakfast, lunch, and supper. So you could even count it as tzedakah when a yeshiva gives stipends, and the yeshiva gives food, and the yeshiva gives housing, and the yeshiva really helps people and put their lives together. So definitely those yeshivas that do that, you can easily call that tzedakah on all counts. But we have a machlokas. We assume our minhag, what we've accepted, is that tzedakah is not only food for the poor. It's a basic machlokas, which we'll discuss. Okay, we have one more concept which we haven't touched on. That's miser. What is miser? So miser is when you have a crop of food, so you have to take off a tenth, and you give to the levy. That's miser. And then on the third and sixth year, you take off another tenth, and you give it to the poor. But we don't have crops. You're working in high tech. You're working, you have a business. You have a store. You're not made. Where does miser affect you? So we have an extension of the miser in the Torah. That's miser ksafim, that we give a tenth of our income to the poor. But that's an extension. That's not the din that's written in the Torah. That's an extension. It's not a din d'oraisa. So when we give ma'aser k'safim,
what is an extension? Like, is it derabanan?
Oh, so I didn't say that on purpose. He cornered me. Vinny and I have a long-standing relationship. He's far away from me right now.
is that a good thing?
It's good for you. I would have whacked you. Sorry. So I didn't want to go there. Let's leave it as an extension, okay? those who are curious can open the Pesachei Tshuva and the Shulchan Aruch and the beginning of Hilchos Tzedakah, who delineates the different shitos as are quoted in the Tshuva of the Noda B'Yehuda. I'm not going there tonight. We'll leave it as something we're supposed to take off a tenth, whether it's a Din Drabanan or a different extension, it's not Doraisa. How do you calculate your tenth? So we have two factors that are important that people aren't aware of. Number one is a basic machlokes. What expenses before? Maybe I should take it off the bruto, before the government's taxes. Yeah, your salary is a few thousand shekel more before the government takes its part. Are you supposed to take a tenth off that? No one says that. You take off your tenth. You don't. Maybe someone. I don't know everyone, but generally we do not. Let's put it this way. When your salary exceeds 50,000 shekel a month, take it off the bruto. No problem. When your salary is at a place where you're making ends meet, so we don't assume that you should. Definitely not in Israel, the way salaries work here. The next question is, do any other expenses come off? So I own a store. Fictitiously, I don't. But let's imagine I own a store, okay? And my store generates 2 million shekel of income. Of those 2 million shekel, I have to give 500,000 to the government. So now I'm left with 1.5 million. But wait a second, I have to pay rent 500,000 shekel a year. So now I'm supposed to give a tenth of 1.5 million or a tenth of 1 million? Because half a million I'm paying rent a year. Now I have workers. So everyone understands that in a store, you don't have profit. It could be your rolling 10, 15 million shekel a year, but what you bring home is only 250,000 shekel because everything else is covering all your overhead. You have to pay a lawyer, you have to pay an accountant, you have to pay your workers, you have to pay rent, you have to pay taxes. You have so many expenses. Out of 15 million, it could be you end up with 250,000. So everyone understands that when it comes to a store, you don't have profit till you take money home. Wait, what about an individual? What expenses In order for me to go to work, I have to have a car. So do my car expenses come off first? I can't work without it. I can't work without having a home. So do my home expenses. What about my mortgage? What about my water? What about my heat? What about my electricity? What about my kids? We'll talk about later. So this is a big discussion in halacha. What deductibles do we have in tzedakah? And people are quick to assume you don't have deductibles. That's not true. Just like it's obvious that a business has deductibles, that you can't charge a business because he generated 2 million shekel or 1.5 million in profit, but he didn't pay his rent yet. He doesn't own a store without paying that 500,000. So he didn't make 1.5 million. He made 1 million after he paid for that store. After he paid his workers, he's left with 500,000. Now, does his car expense come off too? Because he couldn't run his business without his car and his trucks and whatever it is. So now how much is he left with? Wait, but maybe you'll also cover the babysitter. And maybe you also have to cover other expenses. What about his computer at home? And his internet connection at home? I'm saying, and his cell phone. Today, cell phones aren't a big deal. Once they used to be a big deal. Right? So, and what about his clothing? I couldn't go to work without a suit and a tie. So is that a business expense? To the government, I could call it a business expense. What about the Ribbono Shel Olam? So this is a big sugiyan halacha, and it's very relevant. Because you could end up giving miser that's huge, and it's not legitimate. It's not right. Gastriel, we got chairs. You got one? Okay. So, we got hot drinks and cold drinks. This is Kasriel Akardi, and everyone else introduce themselves. You'll catch up during the break. This is so Rav Ozner.
Also, the deductibles, there are limits. You don't right. need to give out Sarfatit.
I agree. I can't go to that level of detail. That's one of the reasons why I recommend when you calculate your miser, you ask a shayla. You might end up where, let's take the average family. Let's say the average salary today is about 10,000 shekel. So let's say the average family, he's working, she's working, they're making 13. Okay? So after they pay taxes, they're left with 11.5. After they pay, we won't discuss kids for now, because kids are a separate parasha in the laws of tzedakah. But after they pay their rent and their electricity, and if they own a car, and their gas and their water, and their yeshuv bill, and their shul membership, we'll leave shul membership because that might be tzedakah, that might be a tax credit. No, that's much better. Their groceries. So they're left in minus. now we'll give a miser of a minus. Wait a second, what? So like you said, one of the questions that's discussed is, who said you have to buy the most expensive cereal, the most expensive car? Who said your air conditioner has to be running 24 hours a day? Who says you can take that off of tzedakah? But there is a certain amount that you say I live off of. So that's a machlokas haposkim till today. Meaning it's a machlokas till today between the poskim, what you're allowed to take off and what you're not allowed to take off. But it's relevant because sometimes people are taking off miser and they're not getting their kids the dental care they need. People are saying, I'm going to take off the miser, but then they're not covering a kid needs therapy or other things and they're not giving it to the kid. And that's why it's very important when we calculate miser to calculate, and then go and ask a shayla, did I do this right? After a year or two, you'll get the hang of it. Amichai, give me a minute.
I'm just wondering, the fact that some of the money gets taken off from our paycheck anyway is going to stuff like Bituach Lomi.
We don't consider
the government
that.
And everything,
right.
Poor. It's not...
So when you'll come to Shemaim, you'll have a little bit more of a credit. We don't factor that, just like we didn't. No.
You don't factor Bituach Lomi?
No.
The money comes back to you also.
Right, it's you. It's covering your medical. Go see what your siblings are paying for medical insurance in America. So your Bituach Lumi is a joke.
What about Canada?
So they pay a bigger health care bill. Okay, so what we've covered so far is that we do have deductibles, and those deductibles can be relevant in how much we end up we have to give miser from. But what's important is that we should give miser every month. And here, the halacha allows us to not only do it on a daily, monthly, weekly basis. Sometimes a person says, I don't know if I made money till the end of the year. There are businesses that run that way. Sometimes a person says, I don't know till the end of the quarter. One person gets his paycheck every month. You get your paycheck every month, you should have a separate bank account or a separate wallet where you keep your tzedakah money. My wife knows that in my wallet, there's a section that if I die before her, that section, the money is not ours. Okay, there's a section in my wallet where I keep the money wrapped and I try to label when I put money in that section in the wallet. That's not ours. We have a pouch at home. Some of you have seen it. Tzedakah money. We know that's not our money, right? And any time, if I'm taking off my miser, every time I take off the miser, it goes into that pouch. In that pouch, I don't know whose money is what. I don't know if it's the miser I give or someone else give. It doesn't matter, right? It's irrelevant. Sometimes people tell me, I want the tzedakah money to go to children. I want the tzedakah money to go for people's medical care, whatever. So then I label that money. I say, that money should go for this. I don't think it's a smart thing that people do when they do that, but whatever. If that's what makes people happy, that's fine.
Why not?
Because maybe there are more important needs. Why would you limit it to A or B or C? Okay. We had a person who was going blind and we didn't have the money to help him get the medical care he needed. And I had thousands of shekels sitting by me, but the person who donated it said, only to children. It was an adult. So I had to go figure out where I'm getting the money from because those thousands of shekels had to wait for children. Then there was a 16-year-old. I called the donor. I said, is 16 still a child? Can I give it to them? They need medical care. They said, yeah, okay, fine. But I didn't dare give it to the other person. So they missed the mitzvah. Okay, it's their prerogative. It's their money, whatever they want. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't do it that way. I don't do it that way with my money. I'm saying when my miser money goes, first come, first serve. And that's another important thing. Sometimes we wait for the bigger mitzvah. Why? You have tzedakah money, give it. Help someone. I was once in a room with huge Talmidei Chachamim. And one of those Talmidei Chachamim went to do army service. And when he left, it was the best room. One of the roommates there wrote a bunch of Sfarim, huge Talmud Chacham, the best room in the yeshiva. So one of them went to do his army service. And I asked him, do you want me to save your bed? And it was a good room to be in. So he said, how would you do it? I said, no one has to know you left. You're going to be back in a few months. You could have that bed. There are enough beds in the yeshiva. So he said, why shouldn't someone else enjoy the bed? I said, because then when you come out of the army service, you're not getting that bed. Someone else will be here. They'll discover what a good room it is. They're not going to give up the bed. You're going to have to find a different room. So he said, give someone else the bed. So I said, and what's your svara? He said, God forbid I should ever prevent something good from another Jew, because suffek if I'll get that good later on. In 9 months, maybe I won't have that benefit. Right now, someone else can enjoy it. Let someone else enjoy it today. That's a vaday, right? It was a lekach for me, for life. He said, there's a vaday chesed right now. Suffek, I'll get something good for me in 9 months. Let him have the vaday good. So that's a rule in tzedakah also. I can do vaday good now. Let me do good now. What am I waiting for? Who knows where I'll be in 9 months, etc. So when we do tzedakah, we should try to, you have the miser, take it off and put it in a separate wallet. Take it off, put it in a separate bank account. Take it off, give it to whatever tzedakah you trust. Which tzedakah should you give it to? So that's a very sticky question. I can't answer it directly. I can say a bunch of things. People sometimes look for a tzedakah that has no overhead. That's ridiculous. You're going to go and check out every ani and see what they're doing. They have to have overhead. What office are they going to work out of? My money should go straight to the aniyim. And what? And if you're funding the guy who's going to travel and the ambulance driver, that's not tzedakah. That's less of a tzedakah. People and tzedakah organizations like to advertise. All the money goes straight to the aniyim. Nothing. So you got another donor who's covering the other expenses. Big deal. It's a game. Realistically, we have to be mature enough to understand you can't run an organization without people working. You sometimes have. You have a guy like me who Seder, I'm covering my costs. Seder, but that's because I'm not so big. That's because I'm working with very small. I'm not telling you you should give your donations to me. Maybe you should give them somewhere else. There are a million places that do important things. There are places that feed the poor. There are places that clothe the poor. There are places that house the poor. There are places that train them to get jobs. They're all important. There are yeshivas. There's Machon Meir. There's our shul. There's a lot of good things in this world, right? I said our shul again. So I get another point. Okay.
It's proof.
Right, it's recorded. guys, in all honesty, if not for his work, I don't know if there'd be a shul. But I'm joking, but it's in all seriousness. I'm coming back to, there are a lot of causes, and every normal cause is going to have an overhead, and it's legitimate. Assuming that they're being run correctly, it's legitimate. Ah, but you have to trust them. Right. That's the tricky thing. Who do you trust? That's a hard thing. So they show you pictures of many Rabbanim. That doesn't mean you should trust the organization. It's a very hard question who you can trust. The flip side is, I was in the hospital with kids, and on Friday night they brought us food from Ezer Mitzion, and suddenly you realize, wow, every Shabbos I'm at home and I don't know that Ezer Mitzion is feeding people in the hospital, right? Week after week. And then they call you for a donation and I'm busy and I got other needs, and then I show up in the hospital and they're there for me, but was I there for them? What's your overhead and who's overseeing what you're doing? We have to find a balance. Meaning, on the one end, these organizations, most organizations are doing good work. And it's important to fund some of them. You can't fund all of them. On the other end, where are you going to put most of your money? So this goes to the Rambam. The Rambam tells us a klal, another concept in tzedakah. Until now, what have we discussed? We've discussed my chiv to give some tzedakah. We've discussed my chiv to give someone who has pikuach nefesh. We've discussed our chiv to give meiser ksafim. Aside from... That one's broken. Yonatan, let's...
It's over here, there's more.
Okay. So why don't we pass it then?
I'll sit next to us.
Ah, okay. Shalom, Yonatan. We've discussed that in Meiser Ksafim. So we have different ways of calculating the Meiser, how much I'm supposed to give, what gets taken off as deductible. And we discussed the importance of funding organizations, not just the individual cases that come to your door, which you have to wonder if they're legitimate. And we said in all cases other than pikuach nefesh, you're supposed to wonder. There's no reason to give people, to trust people. Why don't you find out who he is? People sometimes give a lot of money to things that they have no clue what's going on. Why would you give your money there? Why not make sure your money is going to the real needs? There's real need. Why the guy gave a moving speech that's very nice. There's real need. You should really, it's your investment. It pays to make sure you're giving to a place that's worthwhile or to people that are worthwhile, and organizations are important. I'm saying don't think that organizations are little. They're important. We all use them sometimes, and they benefit everyone. Organizations are important. You have to decide. Select. Okay, how do you decide where you're giving your tzedakah money to? So here, I just want to mention there's a whole order in Shulchan Aruch. Number one is an organization that, or a system, or an individual where you can help them make their own money. The best tzedakah is you give a person a parnasa. That's number one. Okay, that's agreed upon. But there are other things that are important that people don't always notice. Number one is sometimes you learn in a yeshiva, you benefited from a place. You daven in a place, you're benefiting from the place. You can't overlook, no. I get another point. They're not all from Kochav Yaakov. No.
We have American tax deduction receipts also.
Actually, you have to get it too.
This is not a fundraising event. Seriously. People come to me sometimes and they say, I have Meiser. And I say, you learned in a yeshiva. The yeshiva gave you a stipend. Did you ever give them back so they could continue functioning? Meaning, and sometimes it could also be another institution. You benefited from a place, you have an obligation to that place. You can't just say, now I'm okay, they're getting their donations, I'm not a big donor, I give where I want to give. We have family.
You mean on top of like the normal payment though?
Each person has to gauge. I'm saying most yeshivas do not cover their costs by the tuition they collect. Most yeshivas, it's not the tuition equals the sum expenses. Tuition does not cover some expenses. They do a lot of fundraising. Okay, so then we that should be part of our consideration. I benefited from a place. I owe it to that place a little bit, to some degree.
You owe to the place because you benefit from it, but it's not tzedakah if you benefit from it. It's for you. It's money that you cover your needs, like you cover the donation to the university, or...
I can't go there. Each person will ask their own shaila. There are too many variables. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you're right. You have a debt. Sometimes it won't be. But very often it's still tzedakah.
Can I switch?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
But if that's the case, then how come, you know, how's it possible? If everyone's falling in love 100%, there would never be money going to, let's say, for example, as you said, you know, the jobs. That's considered like the best. So why doesn't everyone give to the jobs, and that's it? Meaning, all my money theoretically should always be going to like recruiting and helping a person.
So there are other factors involved, but we're not up to that yet.
Okay.
We said helping people find jobs, helping people not collapse financially. Sometimes a person can have a period where this employee didn't pay, that employee didn't pay, suddenly that excess bills, they could find themselves in debt, and it could take them years to climb out of that debt. And if you help them cross that bridge, you've helped them much more. We have chairs, guys. You've helped them much more than... No, that's broken.
Why don't we take that one out?
No, it's for like...
You really like having broken chairs everywhere.
Why don't we take down the...
This is Mr. Goodman, and welcome to our sukkah.
Maybe it's past 11:30.
Let's get him a chair. Mr. Goodman, there are a lot of chairs up here.
Tisha B'Av and Sukkah Solar.
But you have to stand.
No, I'm fine. I feel secure. It's not my hair.
The lay shape of sukkah, like
I'm looking at my hair and I think that it's stop falling.
Rabbi, what's the point you're bringing out that if you give it to Shiva Yudin, then it's not miser?
I didn't say it's not miser. I said that that will depend on how things were set up. Sometimes the yeshiva, most of the times the yeshiva says, when you can afford it, then you'll throw money our way. Then it's tzedakah, because there's no real debt. Sometimes the yeshiva says, you owe me. Then it can be a situation where it would still be tzedakah. Even then, it's almost always going to be tzedakah.
Even more extreme than if they didn't say anything at all, then it is.
Right, yeah, for sure. Okay. For sure. Okay, so another example that sometimes we overlook, but again, in all these cases, it's not pikuach nefesh, you should do due diligence. Don't just throw your money. It's money that you're responsible for. It's supposed to go to the right place, and there are real people who need it. So you have to do due diligence. But very often, you can help a person cross that bridge. You've helped them much more than that money. You've leveraged your money. He can get back on his feet. So that's another example. The third point is what we discussed. Very often, there are relatives. We don't think of it. And it could be older, it can be parents. A person sometimes doesn't check. Do his parents, do his uncles and aunts have adequate heating? Do they have food for Yom Tov? Sometimes you have a young relative that just got married and you don't bother checking. Hey, maybe they're having a hard time making ends meet. So when we talk about tzedakah, I'm just throwing out a few ideas that we don't always think about. There's the classical, and then there are things which sometimes are better and more important than the classical. And then there are people in society that no one wants to help. And sometimes you shouldn't be the person helping them either. Again, the key problem here is due diligence. That a guy comes and tells you a sob story, if you're not going to check it out, just because he moved you, that's not a legitimate reason to give the tzedakah there. Again, there's real need out there. So what we have to figure out is where the real need exists. Yes.
It doesn't sound appropriate for that when you're asking, like, let's say your relatives, and they're saying they need tzedakah. By appropriate, I mean like, do you verify? Do you like ask? Do you believe them? In a sense, like, not that they're not making ends meet, but like how much?
You have to do due diligence. And you have to do it intelligently. Sometimes that means you don't call your relative, you call the Rav of their community. And you ask, do you know how so-and-so is doing? I mean, there are other ways to do it. But to say, and very often you call a person, you'll offend them. And you also have to ask yourself, if what you have to give them is 50 shekel, I'm not sure it's worth the busha you're going to cause them. No, I'm serious. I'm saying... That also has to be factored. What are you offering? Is it really worth the conversation? And that's why very often we get more bang for our buck if we give it to an organization. And I think we're going to shift topics for now because we did enough on this. There, a few quick points about Hilchot Tzedakah again that people might not realize. Do not decide you should give tzedakah. Ah, that sounds like it contradicts everything I just said. We have a klal. Amiroso legavo kimsiroso lehedyot. Once you've decided, I'm giving this to tzedakah, it's not yours. You can't take it back. If you have an old suit and you're thinking, I'm going to give it to the gemach, and you decided, let me see, when can I get there? You decided, that's it. It's like a vow, it's like a neder. So you have to get into the habit of saying, I will see if I will give it. You're ready to give it? What we learned today in Koheles, Tova shelo tidor. Better not take a vow, mishetidor velo teshalem, than taking on a pledge and not paying up. And that's why you have it, give it. You have the money, you took out money from the ATM, you just got your paycheck, take off miser, put it in the other wallet, goodbye. Don't start thinking, I will, I should, I've decided, I will pledge, I will give this donation. The second there's gemiras das, the second you've decided, I'm giving X to tzedakah, that obligates us like a neder. You're running into problems. So we have to get into the habit of not deciding. When you're ready to give, give. You have the money, give. And a person should be used to giving his miser and give. I'm not saying not to give.
Don't say a word.
Correct. Even if you didn't say anything, if you decided I'm giving it, you got problems. So don't decide. I'm thinking whether I should or shouldn't, but I decided. Once you've decided, you run into a problem. So better not to.
What do you mean you run into a problem?
Because then what happens if you suddenly say I don't want to? Or it doesn't work for me, or the gemach is closed for another month and I don't want this lying around my house.
Don't consider stealing at that point?
It's problematic. There are many details. I'm not going into the details. You know, there was a guy in yeshiva, a collector came collecting in Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva. A collector came collecting and he decided he wants to give him, so he took out a dollar from his pocket. The collector walked out the door. There was a line. Till he got out the door, the collector was out the yeshiva. He goes out to the street and he sees him going and turning the corner. Now what's he supposed to do, right? So Rav Moshe said to him, you don't have to give it. So he said, but I decided I was going to give it to him. He said, you didn't decide. You would chase him down Essex Street all the way to Delancey to give it to him. You decided you'd give it to him here in this scenario. But that, wait, there's a chachma here.
If you, slide it out.
We will find out. If nothing falls on the neighbor, then you're there.
So we'll find it before or after.
You're at the point to realize that there's a chachma. You don't necessarily know what the chachma is.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what the dina is?
All this for me, man.
You know what the dog says?
I was thinking it's your head. My problem is the neighbor beneath that wall. Okay, coming back to that's why I'm saying you run into problems. I didn't say yes or no, because depending on the scenario, there will be times that I didn't mean to go into such trouble to giving it to him. But it's a question. It's one of the questions that I get a call once a month on. I thought I would give, and now it's not working for me. Better think, I'm not sure, I would like to, we will see if it works out. Just get into the habit of thinking that way. The next thing that we have to pay attention to is also Kaimi Aniyim Ale, that the concept in the Gemara, if there are poor people here right now, so that also carries a weight in halacha. There's a present need. You hear right now your neighbor has to A or B or C, that also carries a halachic weight. And we have the concept of aniya yircha kodmim, which we said has to be balanced out with our own relatives. It doesn't override our own relatives. Our own relatives also have a high priority. And just one more concept, 1 second. There was one more concept. We discussed that you could balance your miser, take it from year to year. You don't, wherever your cutoff point is, you could give a little bit more, and then next year you'll take it off of next year's miser. You could give a little bit less if you have to this year and pay it up next year. The key here is to keep a listing so you know what you owe.
Absolute 10%?
We said there are many variables. We didn't even discuss kids yet, where kids could be a credit, not even a deductible, meaning.
Rabbi is talking about what's the 10% of what? I'm talking about the 10%. It should be 10%.
It should be 10%. Correct. It should be 10%. we'll just touch on the kids for a second. Once kids pass a certain age, so then much of their expenses can be a credit. So let's say you made 10,000 shekel this month after all your expenses. You're in a good place, okay? Of those 10, you're supposed to give 1,000. But you paid for your kids' tuition 900 shekel. You paid for your kids' food and clothing another 400 shekel. You paid... So that's where you have to come and sit down and figure out halachically, do I get a tax credit? Meaning it could be that all of that is considered tzedakah. I finished all my miser. I got nothing left to give. And so that's a good shaila to discuss. Again, those are two variables that have to be asked. Number one, what's considered my income? What are my expenses? After which expenses do I calculate my income? Number two, what are my credits? Now, when a person has a higher income, then they have to give 20%. But we should all merit to have that problem, right? Okay, so that's... and not more than that, right? Okay, so that's as far as that. There is chesed, which is different than tzedakah. When you help a neighbor that needs help and stuff like that, you help him build the sukkah, that's not tzedakah. Rav Moshe invented a concept. He says this is obvious, everyone agrees. I don't know of anyone who said it before him, but it's a very important concept. Rav Moshe says miser is not only of money, miser is also of time. You have to give a tenth of your time to helping other people. He was talking in Torah. He was talking how you should take a tenth of your time to learn with someone who knows a little less than you. Doesn't mean you have to teach Aleph Beis. Could be it's a chavrusa with someone who knows a little less than you. The par doesn't have to be big. But a tenth of your time should be dedicated to learning with people who know a little bit less than you. A tenth of all my time? No, a tenth of my learning time. A tenth of my learning time should be dedicated there. Okay, so we covered a little bit of Ilchus Maaser. At least we know the Shilas a little bit. We have a picture. Yeah?
You said helping build a sukkah is not considered...
It's not tzedakah, it's chesed. The big question that comes up is when doctors have been asking this question lately. I got this question a few times this year. But it's not no gas. Meaning, if my time is money, what if I give up my profession? Did I give miser? Can I give work instead of money? Okay, when we'll have that problem, we'll deal with it. Okay. Okay, what's our next topic?
Can you delete?